Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Lemon to Now podcast with me, Gary Jones. Now, I am joined today with the legendary, the amazing Mark Sefton. Now, Mark is author of two books, a radio show presenter with Talk Business, and an all-around great guy. Now, in this interview, which is split into three parts, we're going to be talking about his background, his journey, how he's got to where he is now, some top tips that he's learnt along the way, why he's wrote the two books he has, and so much more. Now, this interview is split into three parts, and then afterwards, we're going to give you some podcast extra goodness with his top tips. So, without further ado, let's start with part one of me and Mark. Let's take it away. I am joined today with an absolute legend, a dude. I've known him for about a couple of years.
It's been a couple now.
Yeah. It's Mark Sefton from MarkSefton.com. Is that about right?
Yeah. Director of MarkSefton.com. I do so many things that it's probably, you know, a massive mouthful to rattle off exactly.
This guy's got more strings to his bow than a violinist. It's great. Yeah. So we're going to be talking a little bit about his background, about what he's doing at the moment. I hear there's a new book coming out at some point. So yeah, for the people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about you.
And there is still plenty of people that don't know.
There you go.
There's always, you know, somebody that doesn't know you, and I think it's a great opportunity just to engage with people and let them know what I do and fundamentally why, Gary. I mean, if I think of all the things I do, they all have the same common denominator.
What is Mark's why?
Yeah. My why is really to positively influence all that I meet.
Perfect, okay.
So that's my why, that's what drives me. Mm-hmm. So everything that I do, I always ask myself, does it give me an opportunity to influence?
Yeah.
And that's why I mentor, that's why I have a radio show myself, that's why I write for Entrepreneur Magazine, I'm an author, and I speak. Because all these platforms, Gary, give me an opportunity to influence, make a difference, and make an impact.
Mm. And how does that make you feel as yourself when you do these?
Yeah, for me, it's, you know, as much as I love doing what I do, I think if you really love what you do, it's really when you see the way that you live or the way that you act or what you say, you know, encourages other people to really find who they are and help them on their journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's always great to see somebody else succeed. I'm not one of these people that gets vexed or jealous about somebody else's success.
No.
I like to celebrate in that and support them.
Mm.
You know, and for me, the kickback is if I can work with somebody, get inside their head, empower them, be that missing link, be that encouragement that helps them move forward, then for me, that's what's most satisfying out of.
So being part of their journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're better together, you know, and kind of like my kind of mantra for the last few months is we've got to go where the love is.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I don't mean that in a cheesy hippie way.
No.
But if you think of life at the moment and all its turmoil and all the struggles and obviously the politics of Brexit and the US presidency, I don't know if you've been watching or you watch I'm a Celebrity, but the interesting thing with that this year is how much love and positivity and how much they've bonded as a group has been like no other group before that's appeared on that show.
Okay.
You normally have an antagonist and somebody who's quite provocative, but on this time they've really come together and really showed that they're able to connect but also have courtesy to each other. And I think, you know, in life it's important that we find out, you know, who our tribe is and who is for us and who is, you know, who's good to be around, and actually eliminate those ones and don't worry too much about the people that don't like you, who don't have a resonation for you, you know, just really just focus on where that love is.
Makes sense. I'm a big believer of you attract the kind of people who you want to be around, and whatever forces you give out, you're going to get back as
Absolutely.
Well. So it's very, very true.
Yeah.
So let's go back maybe 10, 15 years.
Okay.
What was Mark doing at that point? You should see his face now. He's trying to figure out what he was doing 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I was just trying to rewind the tape, Gary, and
because you've had a massive, massive couple of years. But we can go back longer if you want.
No, I mean, in the last 10 to 15 years, I was kind of just starting to exit my career in hospitality. I'd worked in retail and hospitality for about 12 years. I left school at 15. went into retail, fell in love at 18 and moved to America, and that lasted a week, which I always find quite funny. But you know,
I bet at the time, life, isn't it? I bet at that time it wasn't very funny, but now looking back on it,
yeah, you know, at the time when we go through problems and we go through heartache, it's never fun.
No.
But I think, you know, when you journey beyond that, and there is a message there, because often we allow our current circumstances to seem permanent rather than temporary, you know, and the powerful thing of that was the fact that, yeah, at 18, I did feel a sense of loss because I'd given up my job, I'd left home for the first time, and I moved to America to, you know, to be with my girlfriend. And the reality was that that only lasted a week. I mean, there was a sense of relief as well, but equally there was a sense of uncertainty and me really not knowing what the next step was.
Yeah, you were completely open, I'm sure, at that point to whatever would happen.
Yeah.
Because you had to be.
Yeah.
You were in a foreign country.
Yeah.
A week into what you thought was going to be a massive life-changing section, and it's completely
giving you a curveball. Crushed and burned, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get over that? What did you do going forward from that? Because that's a big upheaval.
It was. It's interesting. I mean, I've always loved people and I've always enjoyed connecting, and I've felt comfortable interacting with people. I think when you're in retail and hospitality, you're in a people environment. So you either get talking and get communicating, engaging, or, you know, you really are in the wrong industry.
Yeah.
So there was that sense of, you know, because I'd given up so much, I didn't feel like I could just return home. I've always been one that if I put my neck on the line, and I tend to keep it there, even if I'm going to get slapped in the face. You know, I think it's important to follow through. But I definitely see it, Gary, as a turning point from when I was a boy to when I became a man, finding my own independence, not knowing the answers, providing for myself, you know, communicating and taking care of my basic need, you know, and I think it just gave me a chance. I mean, I've been working for 3 years from the age of 15 to 18. I kind of just had that point where I could just breathe. You know, I was working over Christmas. I was doing antisocial hours.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it was almost like a much deserved break over that 3 month period.
So time to reset not only your life, but your mindset.
Yeah.
Your behaviours. Make sure you became, as you said, it was a turning point from a boy to a man.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. So what happened after that stage?
So obviously, I had to go back to the UK because my visa had run out.
Okay.
I picked up a job as a waiter at a local Italian restaurant. I thought, I'm just going to do this for a few months, pay off my bills. And I had about £800 worth of debt, which wasn't too bad. I cleared that within, I think it was about 3 weeks of working there.
Oh, wow.
I cleared that. So I was earning triple the amount of tips than I was in my wage. And I bought myself like a new car as well. A new to me anyway, should I say. And and then I got back into the management ladder through that restaurant and did that for a number of years, and then I got tired of working nights and switched over to Warwick Castle, where I became a head of food and beverage there for 4 years,
which is a big responsibility. It's massive turnover there as well.
Yeah, huge. And obviously it's a local historical place, and it was a good kind of training ground for me in terms of how to deal with people and how to grow and face, you know, things that are bigger than you, and how to be part of a team.
Now, as an ex-retailer, I know that working in retail gives you so many skills, and it's possibly one of the best grounding ladders, or one of the best ways to gain different skills, and probably one of the most underutilized and underappreciated businesses. When was there kind of one key moment where you thought, do you know what, I want to get out of this? Or you wanted to start? Because what you're doing now is completely different in terms of, on the outset, your why is the same.
Yeah.
But was it kind of one moment that you thought, do you know what, I need to change?
I always had a niche to have my own business. When I was 10, my grandfather had a fruit and veg business that I experienced and often went on rounds with him to deliver fruit and veg to local restaurants, pubs and hotels like the Chesford Grange. Locally, and that was kind of an eye-opener to see my granddad in business, and he was a successful businessman, was involved in insurance and in jewellery and in property and in, you know, just hospitality, So he really kind of gave me an eye-opener in terms of, you know, that I wanted to create my own wealth and do my own thing. And that kind of remained with me for a while. I had an investment, a utility company, which I learned some key business principles with. I think I naturally was looking at what I was already good at, the fact that people throughout my life have always opened up to me and shared things with me that they haven't with others. Which I think, you know, for me, you've got to invest in the areas where you're already influential and naturally gifted.
Makes
so
sense.
That kind of left me curious, Gary, and I thought, you know, I'm going to do a series of online university courses. So I did some leadership training, I did some business consultancy, and I did some life coaching, and I basically took the bits that really resonated with me. And when I first branched out, I branched out as a hospitality consultant where I would work with specifically independent restaurant, pub, hotel, and hotel owners. So it's taking my experience, utilizing it with my newfound like skill of consultancy, coaching, leadership. So doing something that I was very skilled and had a lot of value in, and, but creating my own kind of income on my own business through marrying up my skills with my newfound kind of like vision. And I did that for about 18 months, and I learned a lot and I failed a lot, and a lot of people that I wanted to work with, you know, the challenge with every service business is the fact that it's not tangible, it's not a physical entity. It's not like you're going to give me £500 and I'll give you a phone. You know, it's kind of, you're going to give me £500 and then I'm going to get to work. But it's really hard to kind of
orchestrate that.
What does that look like, you know? So, you know, a lot of people, because it was right in the recession, you know, most of the people I was prospecting to, they wanted to sell their business. They certainly didn't want to be spending out, you know, shelling out more money on a consultant, even though, obviously, from my point of view, they were paying for me to be able to turn their business around and make it profitable, make the customer experience a more pleasant one. And then I think, you know, like I ended up meeting a dragon from Dragon's Den in Derby, and we were and we were chatting and just sharing kind of where I was at, and you know, and I'd always had a heart for entrepreneurship, and loved the fact of the whole idea of creating an idea, giving it a heartbeat, giving it legs. Love the energy of entrepreneurs that are risk takers. They don't like being told what to do. They're mavericks. You know, they risk. I like that sort of kind of like mindset, because that's kind of where I'm at. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to pivot and reinvent myself and evolve a little and start to work specifically with entrepreneurs, because I love their energy and their drive. A barrier, I guess, to that is the fact, like I just said, entrepreneurs don't like being told what to do.
They like direction.
Yes, they do like direction.
But actually saying you need to do X, Y, and Z, no,
doesn't feel right. Absolutely. So I've always been mindful of that, being entrepreneurial myself and being able to market that in a way that, you know, I'm able to come alongside people, be that soundboard, be that advocate, you know, be that encourager. And through my own failings, through my own success and the transferable skills that I've had, you know, and I think having a good, strong work ethic from a young age has certainly helped. And then I think alongside that, you know, having a great ability to cultivate relationships, to genuinely help people and not be so focused on just creating success for myself and continually investing in myself are definitely some of the keys to the kingdom, as I call it.
Well, talking about keys to the kingdom, we've obviously spoken a little bit about where you've been. So where are you now? What are you doing at the moment? Where is your kingdom?
So I mean, when I say kingdom, I don't mean that in a kind of farcical, you know, up my own tush.
I think anybody who's been listening to the last 10 minutes knows that you're not farcical or up your own ass.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, people always have a perception, and, you know, with social media, you know, we have a presence, we all do, and people perceive us differently. And while I don't fundamentally care what majority of people think, obviously the people that I like and who know me, I obviously care about what they have to say. In terms of kind of like the kingdom that I kind of am in now, you know, I'm working with some great entrepreneurs, startups, and those that are turning over, you know, millions of pounds. And they're in an array of different businesses, from beauty to tech to music, you know, and everything in between. You know, I think the diversity and the culture of each individual is the thing that really stimulates me.
Yeah.
So that definitely takes up a good portion of my time, my one-to-one clients, and also I have a series of mastermind groups where I'm able to mentor groups of between 4 and 7 business owners, creatives, authors, entrepreneurs in a 6-month program.
And in terms of the mastermind groups, are they in a couple of locations? Because I know they were in Coventry and Edmonton. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it's still the case. People are still pressing for an online one, Gary.
Ooh,
but,
okay.
But I have to say, I mean, my value, and I'm all about doing stuff where I've got high energy and a real good connection with
you
it.
Might not get it online.
No, and I like to start all my meetings with food. You know, I mean, you can have a virtual burger and, you know, and we're all set.
Yeah, there's nothing like having a burger on a Skype call and going, this is tasty.
That's right, yeah. That's right. So I haven't quite been sold on the idea of doing a mastermind, because I find a mastermind very, for me, it's very private, it's very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know whether you can create that sort of vibe online, especially in a group. I think individually, yes.
Yep.
I think you can do that. I've got some great clients that I've been working with that I work with through Skype and Zoom, and they definitely are making strides. But I think when it's a mastermind, it needs to be something, I think, that, you know, brings comfort as well as, you know, anything else to the table. And when you're together, you know, and you're all sitting around eating together and you've got that camaraderie and you've got that reality there that we're all human beings. We all have the same basic needs.
Yeah.
You know, we're just trying to find our way in life. And if we can help each other do that, then, you know, that's where the wealth of knowledge and comes from. Yeah.
So if you're going to sum up a mastermind in one sentence, because there's going to be people who's listening to this who might not know what a mastermind group is.
Right.
How would you sum it up? Maybe more than one.
That is tricky, Gary.
Yeah. You've already summed it up almost.
Yeah. I think it's a place where people come, they be vulnerable, they be honest, they seek help and encouragement, and equally, it's what they bring to the table as much as anything which will determine how much they get out of it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. And there's two at the moment, one in Coventry, one in Edmonton.
Yeah. I mean, they're 6-month cycles, so these will naturally, you know, finish. And then I'm planning to launch a couple at the beginning of the year.
Cool.
So I'm just in the tailspin of organising that amongst finishing off a second book and getting ready for other opportunities that are coming my way.
Nice. Yeah. Well, let's finish it off here for part one.
Okay.
Then when we come back, we'll talk about your first book, second book, some kind of bits about your profession and about what people can do to help themselves and how you can help them.
Beautiful, yeah.
Then we'll go from there.
So I have 10 simple ways that you can get involved with Leamington Hour straight away. Now, I'm going to break it down into days of the week to make it easier. So on Monday at 6:30 in the morning, I drop a email into your inbox, which is the first Leamington Hour newsletter. Now, this is full of useful hints, tips, links to blogs, links to podcasts, links to radio shows. Gives you really cool information. And you can use social media to sign up for that or go to www.leamingtonhour.co.uk for more details. Later on a Monday, between 6:30 and 7:30 in the evening, we have a Leamington Hour radio show, which is on Radio Warwickshire. Now, most of the interviews that you will hear on the podcast would have been on the Radio Warwickshire show. So if you do want to hear more interviews with more people before the podcast comes out, then tune in to Radio Warwickshire every Monday between 6:30 and 7:30. On Wednesday, it is Leamington Hour Day. So once a month, we have a monthly workshop, which happens normally between 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, this ranges from different skills, ranging from Twitter, podcasting, blogging, content creation. There's 4 or 5 different workshops available. And again, you can check it out on the Eventbrite page or on the website. But they're there to help you develop and grow you and your business. Later on Wednesday, between 4 and 5, there's Leamington Hour on Twitter. All you need to do is type in hashtag Leamington Hour into the search box and just join them in the conversation. If you're not too sure about what a networking hour is, on my blog, I've just released a how to use a networking hour, and there's also a workshop about it as well. So if you're not too sure, give me a shout, I can send it over to you. Later on that day, straight after the hour, you've actually got a repeat of a limited hour radio show on Radio Warwickshire. And straight after that, at 6 o'clock, it's available to download. So if you did miss it and you want to download it, check it out on Audioboom, and that's another way of getting in touch. Once a month then, on a Wednesday, which is why I say Wednesday is Limited Hour Day, because there's so much going on, we have the Leamington Hour networking event, which happens once a month in different locations in and around Leamington, and these are fantastic. If I don't say so myself, you've got two guest speakers at every event, plus also open networking before and after, and it's a great way of getting into networking, but it's also a great way of meeting new people. So let us know if you do want to get in touch and do want to attend one of those. You can become a member, which is cheaper, or you can just pay as you go. Thursday, you can have a day off. And Friday, you've got another newsletter, which again has local information, hints, tips, blogs, loads of cool stuff coming to you at 6:30 in the morning. And also, this Leamington Hour podcast comes out as well. So subscribe to it on iTunes, check it out on Audioboom, check it out on the blog, because it gets posted straight onto there. But there are the 10 ways you can get involved with Leamington Hour each month. So let's rejoin me and Mark for part two of this brilliant interview. We're back now for part two. So in part one, we spoke a bit about your backstory and about mentoring and your mastermind groups. You mentioned that you've got a second book being released coming up in late January.
Hopefully.
But if you've got a second book, you've got a first book. So let's talk about that. So what's it called and how can people get to it and what's it all about?
Well, the first book was called Inside Job, and it was a self-published book that I took on as a bit of a project, and I interviewed a number of editors, and it was really important for me that I worked with an editor that had the right energy, the right sort of mindset to me, and got to work with this great editor called Meredith Pruden, who's based in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
She works with like Fortune 100 companies, so I really wanted to not skimp on the quality, and I wanted it to be, you know, just as good as any other book, but but kind of wanted to go through the self-published route purely to enjoy and understand the process, you know. And for me, I guess it wasn't about how much money I could make, it was really about how many lives I could change. With that in mind, Gary, I decided to publish through Amazon, because while they take, you know, a decent cut of the profits, equally they are the largest distributor. And my goal really was to get my book into the hands of as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And Amazon's the best way, from my point of view, to do that.
Fair enough.
I called the book Inside Job, and the premise of Inside Job really is, if you want to change your outward experience, you've got to change your inward dialogue.
Okay.
So it's really about, you know, everything in life is won in your mind. You know, the decisions we make, the beliefs that we have, which then determine a behaviour. So it's really just sharing my own kind of story at the start of the book, from a child to a teenager to an adult, and then really just gleaning and you know, revealing strategies and blueprints to really help an entrepreneurial person go from where they are to where they want to go.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the more real kind of issues that we face as human beings. It's not, you know, one of these books that's fluffy.
No.
Equally, it's not a book that's tailored just for network marketers, as a lot of personal development books are. It's really about, you know, helping people understand their own journey, to not stay in the pain and the torment of their past, but to really move forward, to really identify who they are, what they were put on earth to do, go back themselves, increase their own self-awareness, become conscious, and really develop their own mindset in terms of what they're passionate and what they're good at. And just, you know, create a life which is one that's fulfilling, one that empowers you, but equally it starts on the inside. We become fit in our head before we become fit in our body. We lose, and we get out of debt in our mind before we get out of debt in our bank account. You know, it's a choice, and then the result of that choice results in actions. So it all comes back to really your thoughts, and that's really the premise of Inside Job.
Brilliant. I was talking to a personal coach, a health coach, Phil Sims, you might know him.
Yeah, I love Phil.
And he was saying that to make sure that he's working with the best clients and working
towards a goal, you need to get it sorted in your mind first, mm-hmm. and you need to almost complete the goal first in your mind before mm-hmm. actually doing it
absolutely
physically. Because once you've done it in your mind, everything else is immaterial. You will do it if yeah. you're really passionate about it.
Yeah.
So by the sounds of it, inside job is kind of releasing that potential in your mind mm-hmm. first by unblocking these barriers that mm-hmm. are causing it. Is that about right?
Yeah, certainly, definitely. A good chunk of that book is about mm. that. And giving people strategies and daily habits which mm. will result in a shift and a change in the way that you've been living. A lot of it is really about being intentional, taking mm-hmm. responsibility, you know, moving forward, looking for opportunities. You know, a lot of people, Gary, think the greatest opportunities are outside in the world, but they're not. They're already within you. They just need cultivating. Yeah. And so I talk a lot about that as well.
There's one chapter in there called Releasing Your Inner Sniper.
Yeah.
Which I love. Can you just expand a little bit about that particular bit?
Yeah, so finding your inner sniper is really finding that one thing which makes you come alive, where yeah. you execute with distinction. So if you think of a sniper in reality, you know, they typically only need one bullet and, yeah. and they execute and they're right on the money, you know, and they're very meticulous and very focused. And so, you know, the chapter on, you know, finding your inner sniper is really finding the environment and the platform
mm-hmm.
which actually, when you go into that environment, it gets you in the zone, it helps you find the sweet spot, and your results are high, you know, high energy mm-hmm. and top notch.
Yeah,
I kind of talk about, you know, Michael Phelps being a great kind of person to really illustrate finding your inner sniper.
Okay.
So Michael Phelps, the greatest Olympian of all time, when he jumps mm-hmm. into the swimming pool, in most cases, other than the Olympics that just went,
yeah.
he won all his races, and you know, most decorated Olympian that nobody can, I doubt anybody will reach that in our lifetime.
No.
But I would never say never. But he is the most decorated Olympian. Now, the same guy, Michael Phelps, has had two DUIs against him in the last number of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, driving under the influence of drugs. So it's kind of, you know, Gary, how do we get, you know, the most decorated Olympian, when he jumps in a swimming pool, he obliterates the competition,
mm-hmm.
and the same guy in the wrong environment, you know, becomes, you know, somebody who's broken the law and drives under the influence of drugs. So really, I help people find their swimming pool
mm-hmm.
and prevent them from finding, you know, something that's going to put them in jeopardy. But it's the same person, which is yeah. interested. So it's realizing that actually the environment that you're in
mm-hmm.
is detrimental to your performance and how you're perceived and what you achieve.
Mm.
So that's why it really matters about the environments you put yourself in, the people you surround yourself with, you know, the opportunities you say yes to. Because they will have an impact.
Mm.
And finding that inner sniper is really making sure we find people's swimming pool and not find, you know, them in a car, you know, driving under the influence of drugs,
basically. Yeah, no, I like that. And it's one of the most powerful chapters for me because it basically gives you a kick up the ass.
Mm.
You need to make sure that you know who your sniper is
mm.
or what your sniper is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can move forward.
Yeah.
Cool. So if someone wants to get hold of the inside job, how could they get hold of it?
Well, if they're local, you know, if they wanted a signed copy, I'd yeah. happily meet them and, you know, I can sign it and, or I can even post it if it's locally. Otherwise, you know, Amazon, it's available mm-hmm. on paperback, Kindle and audio, so it is available nice. On iTunes. Yeah.
Perfect. Cool. So what's happening with your second book? What's it called and what's it all about? Is it the same kind of thing?
Well, the second book is called Plot Twist.
Hmm.
And Plot Twist is really based on the premise that we have goals and visions for our life. Things come from left field, you know, and take us in a different direction,
mm-hmm.
resulting in greater opportunity and greater personal revelation. And so, you know, Plot Twist really teaches people how to reinvent themselves, pivot and evolve. I think, you know, Gary, life's one big plot twist. If we think of how many mountains you had to climb to get here today for this interview.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of really echoes the fact that, you know, we've got to be teachable and we've got to be flexible, that when life throws us a curveball, that we're able to, you know, evolve and adapt, and for it to not, you know, completely knock the wind out of our sails and just lose hope and perspective. Because that's the thing, you know, when we have goals for our life and we found that dream house and we put the deposit in and then it's, you know, dropped through, You know, I get it. You know, you are disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, but are you going to stay in disappointment? I mean, nothing you can do is going to change the outcome.
No.
So you've got to focus your energy on finding the house that actually is right for you, you know. And so Plot Twist is very much around that, you know, that we've got to not dilly-dally and spend too much of our energy on the things we can't control, but really focus on the things we can.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. And when do you think that will be released?
I'm busting my chops to get it done by the end of January.
Yeah.
One of the chapters is called Bust Your Chops.
Nice.
Tail end of January into February is when it will happen. You know, I'll make it happen, you know.
When Mark says it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So he's going to do everything in his power to get it sorted for then.
Yes.
Nice.
Well, I am now. I've just put it out to you.
Exactly. Then. It's on radio. Yeah. It's on radio.
That's right.
It's
I'm there. Accountable.
It is. Yeah, cool. So in terms of Bust Your Chops and the main chapter, is there any other cool, kind of cool and quirky chapters or sneak peeks you can give from the book?
Yeah, there's a few chapters. I think chapter titles, I've got some really interesting, intriguing ones that will have people scratching their head, and then there's others that obviously it's exactly what it says on the tin.
Fair enough.
I mean, one of the chapters is called Find Your David.
Okay.
Which, you know,
if you go down the local street, you could probably find David quite happily.
Similar to Inside Job, there's a lots of stories in there because I think it's a great way for people to just really resonate. Yeah. But Find Your David is a true story of what took place in Austin, Texas, when I came across a man called David, and the results of our interaction were profound. And so the chapter on that is the fact that there's people like David all around us, and are we going to keep our heads up and stay, you know, engaged? Because I always say to people that every person you know now was once a stranger. You know, and it's having that ability to...
I can remember a story that you mentioned. Sorry to cut you in.
No, that's okay.
I can remember you mentioned a story to me at a networking event about someone who gave you a gift just at the time when you needed that gift.
Yeah.
And I was going to mention it to... I was going to ask you about it, but actually, is that David? And should we just kind of not mention that now?
You know, I actually don't think it was David.
No, okay.
And I'm just trying to recall... I can recall us... having that conversation about a gift in time.
I said it quite cryptically just then, just in case it was.
Yeah, I guess you being so cryptic is I've not quite managed to pull from the atmosphere what that was.
That's fine. Let's carry on. So Find Your David is one chapter. So you've got some cryptic ones, you've got some not so cryptic ones, but all will be announced, and I'm sure there'll be kind of sneak peeks coming out beforehand on social media and that kind of thing.
I mean, other chapters are like Keep Austin Weird, How to Give Birth, Change That Diaper, you know, so some quirky ones, bit of sense of humour in there, but all with a great metaphor, a great story behind them that are all, you know, actionable.
Brilliant. Well, if this podcast comes out after the book's released, I'd include a show note in the show notes, the links to that book as well. Because I'm guessing, will it be available on Amazon as
well?
It
will be. It will be,
Nice. Cool. Just want to quickly touch up on your radio show as well. So Talk Business.
Yeah.
Fire away. What's it all about and when can people listen to it?
Well, Talk Business has been going for 5 years now, and I've been doing it on Radio Plus Coventry. And typically, I interview 2 or 3 entrepreneurs a week, find out about their entrepreneurial stories, what motivates them, what gets them out of bed, how did they arrive at where they have, you know, did their vocation find them or did they find it? And then for them to really just share some top tips within their industry that helps other entrepreneurs and other creatives and business owners. I think, you know, I think TV in particular is crying out for something that's really inspiring and motivational with a good entrepreneurial edge. You know, and I think radio typically as well, and so I'd like to keep it fresh, keep it engaging, and so it happens every Wednesday from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. via radioplus.org.uk or 101.5 FM if people are listening locally.
Nice. And what kind of guests do you normally typically have on your show?
You know, I've had people in the public eye from Dragons on Dragons Den to Apprentice winners to people like yourself, Gary. You know, and everything, you know, far and wide, innovators, creatives, designers, inventors, you know, people that are in service, people that are in product, you know, people in music, you know, so a real good array, but I think, you know, everybody's got a story to tell, and
mm-hmm.
I just love the fact I can create a platform similar to you right now where people can share a little bit about who they are, and if it can inspire somebody, then that's well worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And one big thing that if you listen to the show, and I would recommend everybody to listen, is that you are talking about the person to the person.
Yeah.
So it's not about the business, really.
Yeah.
The business is a byproduct. You're talking person to person.
Yeah.
And that is beautiful. That's to listen to it or to watch it on Periscope if you're streaming it live or wherever it is. That's the best thing about the show for me.
Great, thank you. It's always good to have feedback.
No, it's good. It's absolutely golden. So that's every Wednesday between 4 and 6 on Talk Radio. Nice.
Perfect.
Cool. So you've got your mastermind. You've got your books.
Yeah.
You've got the radio show.
Yeah.
Mentoring.
Yeah.
If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter. Search me at Leamington Hour. All one word, and then you'll be able to find us, connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones, but mainly let me know about your story, let me know about your business or event, and we'll get it sorted. But I would love to have you on the show, and I would love to hear, promote and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. Only special people get free parts, but Mark is one of them, so let's rejoin us and Mark for part three. We're back now for part three, and we're going to be talking about mentoring for a little bit. Yeah. So, Mark, what kind of, first of all, for people who don't know what mentoring is, how does it differ from coaching and that kind of thing?
That's always a tricky question. Coaching, mentoring.
Yeah.
I haven't fully got my head around it.
Is there a difference?
I think there is, but whether I'm able to articulate the difference, we'd probably spend probably 30 minutes on that, You know, if I think that I'm a qualified football coach, you know, I'm kind of coaching people that already have a basic understanding, you know, and I'm showing them, so it's show and tell, you know, in terms of coaching. And there is definitely some of that with mentoring. I just found, from my point of view, mentoring's a lot more supportive and holistic in the sense that it's, I feel like you build something together in a sense that you come alongside someone, that it isn't so separate, like, this is what you need to do, now follow me.
Mm-hmm.
It's more kind of coming alongside somebody and really encouraging them, you know, to take responsibility and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't get into an argument with somebody about the difference, because I don't think it necessarily matters, but...
It was just for the people who didn't know at all. But I suppose that leads on to the next question that I've got for you. Is what separates you from other mentors in that case? Because everyone's got to be slightly different.
Yeah, they do. But I do think it's important that if you do work with a mentor or a coach, that they are the right fit for you.
Yeah.
And I did a YouTube video about how to find the right mentor for you. It just shares a few top tips where people can find that on YouTube for reference.
Perfect.
But one of the things that I've done is I've created a GPS system, which I believe is based on 8 key fundamentals, or what I believe makes up a person's DNA.
Okay.
So when I take a client through this process, it reveals blind spots, efficiencies and deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, Gary, people come to me with what they believe the problem is. When we take them through the GPS, that isn't actually the problem. It's actually the symptom of what's, you know, underlying, you know, it's a bit like, you know, in the human body, you can have a pain in your elbow, but the problem is actually in your wrist, but it's like deferred pain.
Yeah.
It's the result of something being unaligned.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me, that's definitely one of the things that I believe separates me from others, is the fact that I have this system that I use to be able to set a course and create a platform and a strategy that really focuses in on the individual, because the problem with programs and formulas is it's one size fits all.
Yep.
And while I have the GPS, fundamentally the findings of that will differ from person to person, because we're all unique. Yeah. You know, and so for me, I'd much rather take somebody on as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things I do with one client that I don't do with another, because it's just not relevant.
No.
You know, it isn't about me and my processes, it's really about listening to the need of the client and then building a platform and a structure that enables them to move, you know, from where they are to where they, you know, fundamentally want to go.
Perfect. Yeah. Cool. And you mentioned about the YouTube, and if anybody wanted to get more information about the YouTube channel, about websites and that kind of thing, how would they?
I think probably the portal to go would be my website, which is really simple, marksefton.com.
Nice.
And from that, you've got links to all my social media channels, YouTube, Twitter. I think if you're going to speak to me on social media, Twitter's the one.
Yeah.
And my handle for that is @SeftonMark.
Cool.
Even though another Mark Sefton gets completely vexed with all the tweets and says, Matt, I think this one's for you. Yeah, it's quite funny, really.
Sweet. And also, if they wanted to check out the Talk Business, it's obviously on Wednesdays between 4 and 6.
Yeah.
But is it on social media as well? And can they hear it online?
Yes, so people do stream it via the website readyplus.org.uk. If we have live studio guests, which I'd say probably is about a 70-30 split between those that I have on the phone. If they are in the studio, we put it live on Facebook.
Cool.
Which is facebook.com/RPTalkBusiness. And then, yeah, Periscope as well is the same as the Twitter handle @talk_business_.
Nice. And has the Talk Radio got a, or your show, got a Twitter handle as well?
Yeah, so the show is @talk_business_. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Cool. At this point in the interview, I just want to ask what your golden nugget would be. I know you've got loads.
Yeah.
But let's just focus on maybe one business golden nugget to help an organisation or a business grow.
I think with business, I think one of the nuggets that I would say is if you want to make £1 million, you've got to find a solution that affects 1 million people.
Okay.
I think, you know, for me, we're creating businesses that solve a problem to a few hundred people or a few thousand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're a web designer, you know, you're going to create yourself an income. You're going to be able to pay your mortgage. You're going to be able to have 2 holidays a week. But if you really are in the business of, you know, generating serious, you know, money to be able to influence and liberate people, then you've got to find a solution that affects a lot of people.
Yeah.
The more people it affects, the greater the scalability. So if we find a cure for cancer, for example, then you know you're going to make, you know, a lot of money, even though that would never be your objective because it's such a horrible disease.
Yeah.
But just the premise of if we do come across a solution that affects, you know, a lot of people, you know, that's really where the magic is. So I would encourage startups and those that are in business to really think of what does your customer or client need. And then be that solution, be that answer.
Hey, perfect. It's golden.
Yeah.
We'll catch up again and do a little bit of an extra for the podcast that will come out in about February time. But Mark, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Gary, as well. Have a great week.
Cheers, and you. It won't be a Leamington Hour podcast without a podcast special. So let's hear Mark's top tips. So this is going to be for you guys, especially on the podcast. So, Mark, what is your kind of chosen topic for your top 3 tips?
I think personal development.
Personal development.
I think everything falls and rises on your ability to develop yourself.
Perfect. So, what would be your golden tip number one?
Number one would be the greatest place to invest is in yourself.
Okay.
So, a lot of people, they might not have the money to invest in stocks or property. Which was the case when I first started my personal development journey and realised the greatest place I could invest was in me. And I did that through the books I read, the audios that I listened to, the people I surrounded myself with, just really got teachable and started to become a lover of learning.
Perfect. So tip number one, investing in yourself.
Yeah.
Golden. What's your top tip number two?
Top tip number two is help others succeed. So I think for me, when I've gone out of my way to help others get what they want, I think it was Zig Ziglar who said, you know, if you help people get what they want, you'll always get what you want.
Yeah.
And you don't do that in a manipulative way. But I found that my joy levels and my kind of own fulfillment have come through helping others.
Mm.
And like you, Gary, well connected, know a lot of people. And I get a kick out of seeing other people do well.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me, when I've developed myself, it's always been when I've helped develop other people. You know, he who refreshes others will be refreshed themselves.
Yeah, there's no better feeling than doing a workshop or a one-to-one session and seeing the person who you've trained move on and actually complete what they wanted to get done. And then move past it. It's no better feeling. Yeah. So I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
So, top tip number three.
The third one is the power of reflection.
Okay.
And for me, this is the greatest weapon of personal development. So, on a Sunday evening, I always reflect on the week that I've had. Every night, I reflect on the day that I've had, and I look for three positive things that have happened in my day, even when I've had the stinkiest, crappiest day. You know, there's always something that you can find. And sometimes it's what hasn't happened to you, or what you don't have, as much as it is as what you do have and what you are thankful for. So sometimes we need to look at the things that haven't fallen at our door. And you know, that really creates that abundance. But reflection's a lot more than that. I think when things go well, it's important to reflect and look at the kind of the conditions and the foundations which resulted in it going well.
Yep.
And equally, when things go wrong, you know, looking at that as well, I find that the mistakes that I make, Gary, because I'm not malicious, I haven't got a bad bone in my body, tends to be that I have the right intention, but sometimes the wrong action.
Okay.
So, you know, having the right heart and the right vision, but how I execute that has been sometimes, you know, a struggle and a challenge.
And the reflection side of it helps you do that on a day-to-day basis.
That's right. And then, you know, be intentional in terms of how I will change the way that I do something. But reflection doesn't cost you anything other than time and facing facts and looking objectively. But when I've done that, that's what's really helped me grow.
Nice. So just to recap on the top three tips, your top tip number one was?
Invest in yourself.
Top tip number two?
Is to help others get what they want.
And top tip number three?
And number three was
reflection.
Reflection, yeah. So I'll reflect on this podcast and wonder why I forgot number three when I just said it.
That's absolutely top. That's great. Cheers, Mark.
Cheers.
Thank you so much, Mark, for that brilliant interview. Now remember, check him out on Amazon and Kindle for Inside Job and his brand new book, which will be out by the time this is released. Now, we will be doing a very special podcast all about his new book when it comes out. So check it out, subscribe to us on iTunes to get all the latest updates, and check my blog on www.lemtonhour.co.uk, and you will find a link onto that from there. Now, if you've enjoyed this interview was first of all aired on my Radio Warwickshire show, Leamington Hour Radio Show, which is on every Monday between 6:30 and 7:30 in the evening, and repeated every Wednesday between 5 and 6. So check it out, and have a great week, everyone.